From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anne Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Monday, September 12th. Here are today's headlines.
Today is the first day of Pride Week, a stretch of days dedicated to celebrating the culture and expanding the visibility of the LGBTQ plus community in Vermont. This year's theme is metamorphosis. Kel Arbor with the Pride Center says that has an important meaning.
Sometimes Pride or these events are the only time that people can be them true selves for that day of the year. And so being able to come out of our cocoons and transform in where we're at now, still coming through a pandemic, being in a changed world, a space for us to truly be free and together and celebrate that.
Burlington's Pride Festival and Parade will take place on Sunday, September 18th.
Global Foundries has joined a program run by the U.S. Army in an effort to recruit more employees from the ranks of the military. The semiconductor company signed on to the program in a ceremony at its plant in Essex Junction last week. The Partnership for Your Success, or PAYS program, guarantees soldiers job interviews in their field of expertise after they're discharged. John Lafreniere with Global Foundries says veterans hired by the company are often well qualified.
They come with a tremendous amount of, you know, expertise and experience coming out of the service than you would typically get for someone that might be working at a different company as a technician.
Global Foundries currently has over 200 job openings in Vermont. The company employs about 2,800 people in the state.
The city of Burlington has found an organization to run a community of shelter pods for people experiencing homelessness. The Champlain Housing Trust will manage the 30-pod community at 51 Elmwood Avenue, the city announced on Friday. Residents will have access to electricity, heat, and air conditioning in the shelters, which are projected to open in November. The city is paying for the shelter pods with federal COVID relief money. Prior to the pandemic, in January 2020, more than 260 people were experiencing homelessness in Chittenden County, according to the city.
And it's time for bonus data. Today's number is 29,283. That was the number of active business establishments in Vermont in the first quarter of this year. That's over 2,000 more than a year before. This is according to newly released data from the State Labor Department. The department defines an establishment as an entity like a store, farm, or factory that, quote, produces goods or provides services at a single physical worksite. So one company can have more than one establishment. Meanwhile, the department counted over 294,000 employed people in the state in the first quarter. That's an increase of over 11,000 from the first quarter of 2021.
Coming up, how wool from Shaftesbury, Vermont, made it to an exhibit at the Guggenheim Museum in New York. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
It's a long way from the tiny town of Shaftesbury in southwestern Vermont to the Guggenheim Museum in Manhattan. But in the fight against global climate change, the distance can sometimes be as thin as a strand of fine wool yarn. Our colleague Howard Weiss-Tisman explains.
Hi, babies!
When you visit Wing and a Prayer Farm in Shaftesbury, farm owner Tammy White is happy to introduce you to the animals that live here.
And this is Jody, and that's Diana. And here comes Dandelion. So everyone has a name. Alice in Wonderland.
Farming for White is an act of resistance and social action against the climate crisis facing our planet. Her sheep are partners in her business, each one with a name. And she says they take care of her fields better than any diesel-powered tractor. She uses only natural materials, flowers, bark, and berries, to dye the yarn she makes. And as much as possible, she tries to limit her use of fossil fuels.
I'm 58, and as long as I can remember, I've been concerned about the greenness of the earth. I hate the idea of all of the, you know, waste of the industrial age and how we've, you know, expedited the climate change to the point of floods and fires and all of that. So I don't want to be a part of that.
As the climate crisis intensifies, people are thinking more and more about how they get around, how they heat their homes, and where their food comes from. White says it's beyond time, to also think about the clothes we wear and consider how they're produced and just how much more of it we really need to purchase and stuff into our closets and drawers.
I think for me, it's really natural evolution of how I think about the environment and connect it to fast fashion and want to change that. But there's a lot of work to be done.
White's not one to regularly write to politicians or march in a political action against climate change. But then one day this spring, she got a call from the Guggenheim Museum in New York City. An artist was planning a performance inside the rotunda of the Guggenheim to bring attention to the climate crisis. And the museum needed huge pieces of naturally dyed fabric that could hang down 5 stories from the top floor of the iconic building. It was lambing season when she got the call, and White was out in her barn, where cell service is spotty, surrounded by baby lambs and pregnant ewes.
I don't always grab the phone when it rings, but I grabbed it, and I couldn't really decipher what she was saying, but I did hear the word, like some keywords. I heard wool, and I heard Guggenheim.
A friend of White's daughter, who works at the Guggenheim, helped make the connection. And standing there in her barn, among steaming umbilical cords and placentas, she began negotiating with the museum.
And the colorway, so to speak, was to be representative of menstrual blood. And so I'm in the barn, and I'm like surrounded by bodily fluids because it's lambing. I'm like, oh, hey, I've got the vision of that. I'm your girl. And I've got wool, so I think we can do this.
White got the gig, and this summer she spent almost 3 months felting the wool and using black walnuts, plant roots, and tree bark to dye the fabric. She produced 10 pieces, each about 54 feet long, in 4 different colors. The artist who commissioned White's wool is Cecilia Vicuña from Chile. Her art installations and performances have appeared all over the world, drawing attention to issues of social and environmental justice. The Guggenheim performance was part of Vicuña's exhibit at the museum that the artist said was an appeal to humankind to change our destructive ways, and White was invited to participate in the performance. She doesn't like to leave the farm, especially during the busy summer, but she drove to New York in late August to take part, and she invited Vermont public along for the ride. At the museum, White was one of 30 performers, all dressed in white, who stood in a semicircle on the ground floor of the rotunda, each with a roll of dyed fabric at their feet. Vicuña led them, chanting, praying, eyes closed and holding hands, while a crowd of about 100 people watched. The crowd was asked to bring small rocks, and they clicked them together. The performers then walked up through the famous spiral levels of the Guggenheim, each holding their roll of fabric, up 5 floors to the top level, where they slowly rolled the deep red, pink, and brown fabric down over the edge, all the way to the floor, and then let go as the wool felt floated down to the ground. The performance was a ceremony for the healing of the earth, according to the artist, a collective gesture of weaving love for land and sea. And the plan was to walk the fabric about 1 mile across the city as part of the performance to the East River, and then on to a waiting boat where it would be released as an offering to the planet. The performers, along with members of the crowd, organized themselves into long lines and stretched the fabric along their shoulders and walked it across Manhattan down 88th Street towards the water. I caught up with White while she was waiting for the boat, and I asked her how it felt to have the wool fabric that was grown and produced out on her farm in Shaftesbury hanging among the same galleries that hold the artworks of Picasso, Kandinsky, and Van Gogh.
Even though right from the start I had been told that this would happen, I never could have imagined the energy from that. And so, you know, I thought they were beautiful. I was finally admiring my work.
We all got on the boat that chugged down the length of Manhattan, underneath the Williamsburg and Brooklyn bridges, past the Statue of Liberty, and out into New York Bay. Vicuña used felted wool from 2 other farms in Ohio and New York State, but only whites was naturally dyed and safe to be released. When the boat got out near open water, the artist gathered some of the performers, picked up the rolls of felted wool, and slowly released them into the bay. The sun was setting, and the fabric floated on the surface away from the boat, its natural dyes slowly dissipating into the salty water. For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Mary Engish and Kevin Trevelin.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.